Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We welcome you in the Savior's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will meet with us as we're in his house this morning. The announcements are a bit lengthy, but we'll trust we'll get through them as quickly as we can. We do remind you immediately after the morning service is the time around the Lord's table, and we do invite and encourage each one of God's people to remain and to remember the Lord's death until he come. The evening service then at 7 p.m. is a special one this evening. It is the parents' night, and the children of our children's meeting will be along to take part. And we're looking forward to that time when the children will gather in, and they've been putting in the effort and the work over these last number of Monday evenings, and we're looking forward to tonight. And we do pray that the Lord will meet with us, and the Lord will bless, and the Lord will even speak. And do remember that service as you have been doing in your prayers, and pray that the Lord will bring in all of the family circle, bring in the parents, the grandparents, and other siblings of the children. There is supper afterwards as well. We remind you of that. We thank all of the ladies that have been involved in getting ready for that. Monday evening's the final children's meeting of the season. It is a party night for them from 7 until 8:30. Then on Tuesday evening, there is a committee and session meeting here in the church at 7:30, and it will be the committee first, so committee at 7:30, and then a very brief session meeting afterwards, brethren. Wednesday evening is the Bible study and the prayer meeting at 8 p.m. We return again to the book of 2 Peter, and we invite and encourage each one to come and have that time in God's house around the Word of God as we study it together, and then also around the throne of grace in prayer. There's also a choir practice on Wednesday evening after the prayer meeting. Then we're going to give you all the night off on Thursday night, because it was when I was doing out the announcements every single night this week, I can announce something apart from Thursday. So have a rest on Thursday evening, because then Friday begins the Easter Convention up in the Martyrs Memorial. On Friday evening at 8 p.m. is the youth rally. In particular, it's focused upon the youth, but all ages are welcome to go at 8 p.m. The Reverend Roger Higgison, the minister of our Lisburn congregation, will be ministering in God's Word on the Friday evening. There'll be reports from the youth outreaches. The Reverend Paul Foster, the Youth Council President, will be speaking, and there'll be special singing as well. On Saturday night, then, will be the missionary focus, the missionary rally at 7:30. The Reverend Philip Gardner is over from Perth in Australia, and he'll be ministering on this Saturday evening. There'll be various missionary reports as well. The Reverend Kirschgadden will be speaking, and there'll be other updates as well in their mission fields, both across the world and indeed in the home front as well. And then we mentioned to you next Monday, Easter Monday, the convention meeting, just the one on the Monday at 7 p.m. The Reverend John Armstrong, our moderator, will be ministering at that meeting, and there will be the Children's Club available on the Monday evening. Let me invite and encourage you, do your best to get along to at least one of those meetings. The Easter weekend is a blessed time in our denomination. It's a time when you can meet up with family, with friends, and it's a time whenever you're going to fellowship with our church family. We're not an independent church, we're part of a family. We're part of a presbytery, and we encourage you to have these times whenever you can meet up with others from our different churches and to have times of fellowship and to hear God's word being preached. Do make effort to get along to at least one of those meetings, either the Friday, the Saturday, or indeed the Monday. Then our own service is next Sunday. The service is 11:30 and 7 p.m. as normal, the seasons of prayer before both services. Next Sunday is Building Fund Sunday. It's the second one of the month. We remind you of that. But it's also Easter Sunday, and on the Sunday evening time, the men's choir will be singing. You may be wondering why there's been all these practices of late. There's been a lot of rough edges to chip off. But we're thankful to the brethren. We're thankful to Chris for all of the effort they've been putting in. And we're looking forward even to next Sunday evening as they will be coming to sing at that particular service. Do make that effort. The month of April is turning out to be a busy month in our church calendar. There's a lot on. There's tonight, there's next Sunday, Easter, and then Sunday the 16th commences our gospel mission for 2 weeks. The Reverend Thomas Martin will be the evangelist for those weeks. We're looking forward to God's blessing, God's visiting even with us. And can I mention just at this stage, there are three nights that have been set aside for prayer. Wednesday the 12th, Thursday the 13th, and Friday the 14th of April. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we want to come and to have times of prayer together here in the church. And let me encourage you to set aside those times and to come and to pray that the Lord will meet with us and the Lord will bless in those weeks of gospel mission. There are these cards now in the front porch. Outreach will be done that second week, just off April, just before the mission starts. But if you have others that you would like to give these to, please take them with you. They're on the front table there. Take them and make use of them. We have plenty printed. We've already started passing them into the schools, and we'll be going around the area in the weeks to come. But do make use of those if you can. Let others know about the mission that's coming up. The banner will be going out in the front gate, as it normally does, to give the outreach. It'll be going into the paper. It'll be going onto our Facebook page. And we want to make known this mission as God's servant will come amongst us for those 2 weeks. And so do give yourself, even in this month of April, to prayer. Give yourself to even letting others know. Be Andrews. Be those that will go and bring individuals to the Lord Jesus over these weeks to come. Can we mention to you as well that the offering for the plowing outreach that was lifted on Wednesday evening came to a fantastic total of £324. And we do thank you on their behalf for your generous giving towards the work of the plowing outreach. Then there is the latest Let the Bible Speak magazine, the quarterly magazines in the front porch. Every family is welcome to take one. They're completely free. And do take your copy after the service this morning. The Reverend David Linden has republished this little book. It's a short account of the Lewis revivals. He's entitled it Lewis, Land of Light and Life. We have 20 of these books. They're only £2. Cheap as chips. Even cheaper than chips nowadays with inflation. £2 for a little booklet. The Reverend Linden wrote this a good number of years ago and he's republished it. And we encourage you, put your name in the front porch. We'll get those to you today. The Reverend Linden has a great interest in all of the Scottish history in relation to how the Lord has blessed and the Covenanters, and even since that as well. And we do commend this little book to you and put your name down. As I said, we have 20 copies immediately to hand, and we will get them to you as quickly as possible. That'll do me for now. And we'll sing together Psalm 124 as we commence our worship unto the Lord. Psalm 124, the page 121. We're singing the second version together. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained. Psalm 124, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Amen. We'll still ourselves in God's presence. Unite in prayer at this stage together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow in thy most holy presence. And we thank thee that thou art the great God of heaven and of earth. Thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And we thank thee, O God, that thou art the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. Thou art the one whose word is true and sure. Thou art the one who cannot lie. Thou art the one, O God, who is ever there, who is ever faithful, who is ever, O God, in control of all things. We thank and praise thee this day that thou art the great sovereign God. Lord, what a blessing even to contemplate and to consider afresh the sovereignty of God, that our God is upon the throne, and he will remember his own. We thank thee, O God, this day for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Son of God, who became man and so was and continueth to be, God and man in two distinct natures, and yet one person forever. And Father, we rejoice in our Savior. We rejoice in the Redeemer of God's elect. We thank thee this day for the one who loved us, who gave himself upon the cross for us. We thank thee, O God, that the cross today is empty. We rejoice today that the tomb is empty, and he is alive forevermore. And Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for our standing in Christ. We thank thee for choosing us unto thyself, for electing us unto grace. O God, we thank thee for keeping us, and for that saving grace and that sustaining grace within us. We do rejoice that we're sealed into Christ today. And Lord, we come rejoicing. We come with thankful hearts. We come, O God, with that desire to worship and to praise thee. Lord, for everything that thou hast done for us, and for everything that thou continues to do. O Lord, we simply raise our Ebenezers. Lord, we thank thee for thy day. We thank thee, O God, for this church. We thank thee for the work of this church. We thank thee, O God, for the evangelism of this church, even amongst the children. We think of the Sabbath school this morning. And Lord, we bless thee for it. We bless thee, O God, for those that came under thy word afresh. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet speak on, that thou wilt move within their hearts. And Lord, that thou wilt encourage and build up those that are saved, and those that are not, that thou wilt have mercy and draw them unto thyself. We thank thee for tonight. Even as we look forward, O God, we thank thee for a children's work. We thank thee, O Lord, for each child that comes faithfully week by week and hears thy precious word. Lord, we thank thee for the many that come from unsaved homes. And Lord, we rejoice in this, that, O God, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And we pray for light to come into those homes, O God. We pray that even through the children and the leading of them, that parents will be brought into the family of God, that they will be saved. Oh Lord, we pray for thy blessing this evening. We pray for help in every aspect of that meeting. And we pray, oh God, that thou wilt bless even in the days to come. Lord, we think of the month of April as a whole. We think, oh God, of the efforts and the evangelism that will be made. We think, oh God, of our gospel mission. We pray for it afresh before thee. We ask thee that this will be a month of visitation amongst us. This will be a month when the showers of blessing fall upon Six Mile Cross and upon Berra and upon the surrounding district, that there will be souls that will be saved, that backsliders will be restored, that the saved will rejoice in what the Lord is doing even in our midst. O Father, we pray that thou wilt draw near. Bless thy servant even as he will come in the weeks to come. Lord, we think even of his schedule. We think, O Lord, of other missions that he's conducting. We pray for that Spirit of God to be resting continually upon him. We pray for that strength of body and of mind, O Lord, that he will come here as strengthened in the Lord and ready even for the work of evangelism. And Lord, that thou wilt give us a blessed month indeed. Lord, we're mindful even of the needs that there are continually. Lord, we think of this church and we think of every family. We think of every individual, O God. We think of the particular needs and the burdens and even the thoughts that are upon the mind. Lord, we just ask thee that thou wilt ever presence thyself with thy people, that thou wilt encourage them in the Lord. Oh, we think of David even at that time in Ziklag when he was despondent, and how he encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, Father, help us to lift our eyes from the earthly things. Help us to set our eyes upon the heavenly. Help us to see Christ high and lifted up. Help us to see, O God, His glory even filling the temple. Lord, lift us in these days. Encourage our hearts. Lord, comfort those that need that comfort. Ever sustain them, O God. Touch those that are laid aside with sickness. Raise them to full strength once again. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be very near and very precious unto each one. Lord, we leave this service before Thee. We pray for Thy blessing. We think, O God, of this morning time, and we pray for the preaching of Thy word. And then we pray, O God, as we come around the Lord's table, O, that Thou wilt meet with us there. As we remember the Savior's death once again. As we remember, O God, and give thanks for the body that was broken, for the blood that was shed. O, that Thou wilt tarry with us. Thou wilt tabernacle with us in this house today. O God, hear and answer prayer. Be near to us in these moments together. In Jesus' name. Amen. 210, the hymn 210, the page is 261. The love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on the cruel tree that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. 210, again we'll stand as we sing, please. We return again to the book of Proverbs and to the 13th chapter. This morning we'll read the second half of this chapter together. The book of Proverbs and chapter 13. And we commence at the verse 14. Word of God says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll sing together the hymn 251 as we lift our morning tithes and offerings. 251, the page is 277. "Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng." 251, and remain seated for the first part, please. Let's stand for the final verse, please. Let me ask you to open your Bible now, please, in the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon and the chapter 2. Just want to read the closing verses of this chapter and then the opening verses of chapter 3. Song of Solomon, the chapter 2. And we'll pick the reading up at the verse 16. And then we'll read down to the end of verse 5. Of the next chapter. The chapter 2, the verse 16, the bride is speaking, and she says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. And he feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether." And in the chapter 3, the verse 1, "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city find me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. I want to look at these opening verses of chapter 3, in particular this morning under the heading, Lost But Looking. Lost But Looking. Let's just ask the Lord to draw near, as his presence has been with us already, that he will yet tarry and speak to our hearts. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, O God, that we are in thy house, and it is thy word that is open before us. We thank thee that thou art the Lord of the house, and we pray that thy presence will yet tarry with us even in these concluding moments together. We pray for the gospel as it is preached. We thank thee, O God, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Father, we pray for the evidence of that power even today. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to rest upon the preacher. That thou wilt fill me, O God, and take control of my mind, of my heart, of my lips. Lord, that everything that is said and done this day will be in accordance with thy will and with thy blessing. We pray, O God, for every heart that is before us, every individual. We think of those, O God, online as well, or who will listen at a later time. Lord, that thou wilt work in every heart. Search them out, O God. Search out every heart. And convict those that are unsaved. Convert them, O God. O Father, we don't simply want individuals to be challenged. We want them to be changed. O God, work in our midst, I pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's an amazing admission that is made by the bride in Song of Solomon in the chapter 3. We have spent the last number of weeks together in chapter 2, and we've highlighted to you just how special that time of visitation was. How from the very moment, that very instant when she first heard the voice of her beloved, how it just thrilled her, how it captured her mind, her eyes, her heart, how that all she could think about, all she could look for, all she could long for was his presence, was the company of the bridegroom. How whenever she saw him, even leaping and skipping over the mountains and over the hills to come to her, to be with her, how he overcame every obstacle that was in the way, she was compelled to remember it all. And she was compelled to record it all. Even all of the words that he said at that time of visitation, from the very moment that he came towards her, from the very moment that his voice was heard, she wrote it all down. Two occasions during that visit, she was invited, rise up, come away. In other words, leave where you are, leave what you're doing, leave who you're with, come away with me. Leave behind the place of sin. Leave in separation. Come be with the bridegroom forever. She saw, she knew his love. She knew the bridegroom's love was an unending love. She knew his love was an unfaltering love. It was never going to diminish. It was never going to disappear. His desire to have her with him was clear. And yet, she said no. In fact, if you turn just and your eyes are upon the final verse of chapter 2, where she says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. She is actually wanting and expecting her bridegroom to stay with her. Not for her to go away with him, but rather for the bridegroom simply to stay with her. Now you remember from chapter 2, there was a place of separation between the bridegroom and the bride. There was the wall, there was the window that he looked in through, there was the lattice. There was a barrier, which meant they couldn't be together. But that separation, that distance, that barrier between the two didn't seem to bother her. As long as he's there, I'm happy. As long as he's in the vicinity, I'm content. As long as I know where he is, that'll do. As long as I can look to him when I want to. You see there in verse 17, she says, be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. That word Bether in the Hebrew simply means separation. In other words, she's asking her bridegroom, be thou separate, be thou upon those mountains, so that whenever I need thee, I can look to thee, I can know where you are. Some people treat Christianity like that. Some people think that Christianity and the Christian religion, the Christian faith is all about just that God will be there when we need him. As if we can just turn to him in our times of need. We'll forget about him the rest of the time. But Christianity is just to have God in the background that we can look to. That in times of trouble, in times of distress, that then we turn to him. Some unsaved think that's an acceptable life and it's acceptable way of salvation is an acceptable faith. That they can remain in the things of the world. That they can remain in the practices of the world. That they can remain where they are, with who they are. And that Christ will be just in the background. If I need him well, I can look to him, or I can just glance over and just make sure he's still there upon the mountains of Bether. No, sadly, even some Christians treat their faith like that. Their bare minimum will do. I'll have Christ in the background. Almost like he's a 999, just times of emergency, we'll call him. Ask him to intervene. We'll kind of wave him over, you know, in those times whenever there's a great trial, a great distress upon you. We'll just turn and we'll wave the Lord, as it were, back into our lives. Come on over and help me again. True biblical salvation is not that. Christ has commanded us, even as we looked at it previously, rise up and come away. Come away from sin. Come away in separation from the things of the world. True biblical salvation is where an individual turns from sin and comes to Christ. They accept his calling. They come at his beck and call, as it were. Whenever he calls them, they come, they respond. There's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no negotiation, there's no bartering process in salvation. When God calls, a sinner comes. Full surrender. Full surrender. To live with him. To live for him. And as we come into chapter 3, really what we can see, in a sense, is this bride is lost. But she is looking. I leave these points with you this morning. Firstly, the verse 1 of chapter 3. I want you to see her plight. Her plight. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You know that wonderful visitation, that blessed visitation. Instead of gratefully and immediately accepting, we see that she had delayed. Then ultimately, at some point, she had dismissed him and he had departed. You see, Christ will not stay where he is not welcome. Yes, in grace and mercy, he comes, he pleads, he longs, he invites, he desires, he sends out that message, rise up, come away. And he comes and he has that desire. He shows his love, he shows his mercy. But if it's rejected and rejected and rejected, ultimately the Lord then says, I'm not welcome. He is long-suffering, but he has declared, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Christ will only invite for so long. The bridegroom here had invited her twice, rise up and come away, but she refused, and so he withdrew. Now she lies upon her bed. She realizes her plight. It's that verse in chapter 1, or in the verse 1 of chapter 3, that really her sorrow begins. Because she says, I sought him, but I found him not. I looked for him, but he wasn't there. You know, the bed in Scripture is often the picture of idleness, of indifference, of indulgence. Amos chapter 4, so often we only know Amos 4 for the verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. But Amos before that actually deals with what he describes as a kine. In other words, there were ladies, there were women who went up to summer houses and all they did all day was just lie upon their couches and just eat and eat and eat and take of the things of the world. And he was rebuking the woman in Israel at that time for being so involved in gathering to themselves and in greed. Speaking upon lying in those beds of indulgence where they literally lay upon couches and just gathered onto themselves all that they could. So often in Scripture, the Bible, it's speaking of, in terms of the bed, it's speaking of indulgence, it's speaking of idleness. In reality, it's speaking of sin. And so you have this bride lying upon her bed. In other words, she's in the place of sin. She looks for the Savior. She looks for the bridegroom. She can't find him. So there is a simple yet the important application to make. You will not find Christ in the things of the world. You will not find him in the places of the world. If you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're looking for the Savior, you will not find him in the entertainment crazes of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save. He did not come into the world to partake. And you can go through the ministry and the life of Christ. He stood apart. Our God is a God of holiness, God of purity. He is without sin. Therefore, I say to you today, do not seek for him in the places of sin. Do not seek for him in the practices of sin, of the world, and of sin. You can flip that on the other side and you can say, well, if you're wanting Christ in the church, then you'll never bring the things of the world into the church. The things of the world and the things of Christ cannot and do not mix. Christ is not found in the world, he is found in his word, in his church, and amongst his people. This bride, she lay upon her bed. She realized, my groom is not here. You can imagine, as it were, she's lying there and she looks around. She looks to her left, she looks to her right. Maybe she's even reaching out to see, is he anywhere there? She comes with these sorrowful words at the end of the verse, I sought him, but I found him not. One of the commentators writing, he says, how many souls in hell could use that phrase as their testimony. I sought him, but I found him not. You might say, but isn't that a contradiction of Scripture? Doesn't it say in Matthew 7, seek and ye shall find? Well then, why are people seeking and not finding? Yes, it does say that in Matthew 7. But understand those words in light of Scripture. Understand them in light even of Isaiah 55 and 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while. Remember the word while. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In other words, there is a time of visitation. There is a day of salvation. But if we harden our hearts, if we turn from the Lord, if we reject and refuse, then the Lord's visitation, the Lord's time to be near will come to an end. There's a set time of seeking. There's a set time when he is there to be found. Now, it's an awful testimony of a sinner for one to constantly put off salvation. Constantly say, not now, later. Not your time, my time. And yet God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I remind you also of the words of Jeremiah 29 and 13. It says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. You look at chapter 3, the verse 1 again. Can you really say the bride is searching with all of her heart? She's still lying there in her bed. She's still lying there in that place of sin. She is not moving. She's simply looking to her left and to her right. Maybe she's reaching out with her arm. That's all she can say. Is she really searching with her heart? Lesson, therefore, is before us. If your affection, your heart is still in the things of the world, you're still holding on to the places of sin, and you will not seek with all of your heart. You will not find. If you're still holding on to the vices. This bride was still lost. Her groom was still away from her. Her plight. But secondly, then, to verse 2, I want you to see her pronouncement. Her pronouncement. She says in the verse 2, I will rise now, go about the city and the streets in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now she starts to separate. Now there's repentance. Now there's a turning away. Now there's a getting up. Now there's a getting out. Now there's a rising, and now there's an urgency. You notice the word she says in the verse 2. She says, I will rise now. She doesn't wait till morning. She doesn't say, I will get up in the morning. And then I will look for him when it is light. No, she says, I will rise now. I can't stay a minute longer without him. I can't stay another minute separated from him. I can't stay another minute in this bed knowing that he is not with me. I will rise now. As I said, your salvation, your coming to the bridegroom's never, ever something to put off. How easy it would have been for her to wait till morning. How easy it would have been for her to wait to a more favorable time. How many excuses she could have raised up and said, no, it's too risky, it's too dangerous. Why would I go out at night? Why could I do this and this and this and this? And yet she says, no, I will rise now. I'm getting up now. I can't wait for another time. Isn't that the great lie of the devil to your soul? You're convicted of sin. You know you need to be saved. You know that you must come to Christ. You must turn from your sin. And yet the devil, how many times does he say it? Just wait a little while. Just put it off for a season. Yes, you need to get saved, but just wait. You have a lot going on in your life. Just wait. But the bride here, she says, no, I can't wait. She gets up. And she goes about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. Notice what she does. She goes to the wrong place again. She's looking in the city. She's looking in the streets. She's looking on the broad road. In other words, she's looking in the popular places. She's looking amongst the crowd. She went to all of the wrong places and she never found him. See, the broad road only brings us to worldliness, pride, selfishness, dishonesty, immorality. They only lead to one thing. Matthew 7:13, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. She went to the city, she went to the streets, she went to the broad roads. I looked for him, but I found him not. Christ is not found, I repeat it again, Christ is not found in the ways of the world. The devil's found in the ways of the world. Christ and the devil will never walk together. You will find the devil in the world. He's the prince of the power of the air. You will not find Christ. Her pronouncement. Thirdly, I want you to see her people. In verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth. You know, it's a wonderful picture in these verses. It's just a step-by-step process of a sinner coming to Christ. She finally got up and She's seeking the bridegroom. In her naivety and in her foolishness, she went to the wrong places. She went to the wrong people at the start. She never found him. But thank God she never gave up. She didn't just scour the streets and the broad ways in the city and then say, well, I look, but I can't find him, so I'm just going home again. The burdens upon her heart, the burdens upon her mind. I need to find him whom my soul loveth. Know the reality of a soul that's about to be saved by the Lord. The Spirit of God gives such a burden upon that person, they can't rest. And you can't just switch it on and off. The story's told of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, of course, a great evangelist. Many times at the end of the gospel preaching, D.L. Moody would give an appeal. Have a time at the end after the preaching where he would call sinners to come forward. Go into the inquiry rooms to come forward to show their intention that they desired to be saved. One particular night, D.L. Moody didn't give an appeal. He just closed the meeting in prayer and dismissed the congregation. Next day, he was walking down the street and a man was coming towards him, and the man crossed the street and came over to D.L. Moody and he says, Mr. Moody, I was at your meeting last night. He says, I waited for you to give an appeal. If you give an appeal, I was going to come forward. I was already in my seat. The minute you said to come forward, I was going to get up and I was going to come out of my seat. D.L. Moody said to him, he says, come, we'll get saved now. No, not getting saved now. He says, that was last night. I was going to come forward last night. D.L. Moody says, yes, but come now. Man says, no. I was going to come for the appeal. D.L. Moody says to him, he says, you weren't ready to be saved. He says, because if you were convicted of your sin last night to the point where you were going to come forward, then this morning you would come forward right now. That burden of your sin was such upon you, you couldn't rest. You'd want that matter dealt with. This bride wouldn't give up. This bride, as she walked about those streets, she looked and she looked and she couldn't find him. And then she came to the watchmen. Watchmen in Scripture refer to the preachers of the gospel, the prophets, the Old Testament. Ezekiel 3:17, just to give you an example, it says, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, he says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of thy mouth at my mouth and give warning from me. They were to be the proclaimers, in other words, the preachers. They were to be the heralds. This bride, she finds the watchmen as they're going about the streets. They're out, as it were, they're looking for souls. They're preaching the gospel. And she comes to them and she says that question to them, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Thank God for watchmen. Thank God for preachers of the gospel. Thank God for born again preachers. How important it is to have saved men in pulpits. Because you look at these verses and what does it say and what do you see even in these verses? Well, firstly, whenever she goes to them, you can see they know where he is. Secondly, you can see that they're close to him. Because you look at the words of verse 4, it says, It was but a little that I passed from them. They were near the bridegroom. They knew where he was. They were able to point her to him, but they were right beside him. They weren't far away. And then thirdly, that's what they simply did. They knew where he was, they're close to him, and they point to him. And they say, he's over there. She follows their directions. I encourage you today, if you're unsaved, to heed the clear direction of the gospel. You want to be saved from your sin. You want to have peace with God. You want to have that burden of guilt and of sin dealt with and rid from you today. You must come to Christ. Good living and church works and all of the rest of it will not save you. I'm not here to get you into membership, and I'm not here to get you simply coming and paying into a church. You come to Christ. He's the only one that can save. She followed their directions. They pointed her very simply. It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Fourthly and finally, she found her place. You know where she found her bridegroom? You look at verse 4, it says, verse 3 says, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. And then verse 4 says, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I find him. Where did she find her bridegroom? Not in the streets or in the Broadway. Not in the city. She found him just outside the city wall. Where do you find Christ? Just outside the city wall. Hanging upon a cross for your sin. What a picture that is, even before us in these verses. See, for your sins to be forgiven, to be dealt with, you need to come outside of the city. You need to come out from the broad road. You need to come away from the streets. You need to come to Mount Calvary. And there you'll meet the bridegroom. There she held him, in verse 4. She wouldn't let him go. Thank God in salvation, not only do we hold him, but he holds us. And he'll never let us go. Not one will ever be plucked out of his hand. See, when you come to Christ in salvation, you repent of your sin and you get up out of the sin, you turn from it and you come to Christ, Christ holds you. It's like a vice-like grip that no one can ever take you. But yet for you in his hand, it's the most tender, loving place to ever be. There's not one child of God will ever be plucked. There's nothing can separate us from his love. Her place is by his side. What a gift salvation is. What grace and mercy is found in Jesus Christ. She had rejected him. He had said to her, rise up, come away. She had said, no, just you stay in the mountains of Beth, or just there in the background. And yet when she came to an end of herself, she got up in the middle of the night. She found him outside the city wall. And she's with him. What about you today? Do you hear that invitation once again to rise up and come away from sin? What's your response? Oh, my friend, I plead with you to heed the invitation. To come even now. Right now where you sit. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave the places of sin. Turn your back on them. Come just outside the city wall to come to Calvary. Be saved. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee for thy word and for the gospel message. We thank thee, O God, for the long suffering, the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for each one that has heard thy word today. We ask thee, O God, that they will not reject, but oh, that they will come. They will accept their need of salvation. They will accept Christ as their Savior. Hear and answer prayer. We thank thee for thy presence. O God, tarry with us even now as we come around thy table. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books once again. We'll sing together the words of 665. You'll find it on page 444. 665, in memory of the Savior's love, we keep the sacred feast, where every humble, contrite heart is made a welcome guest. I'll go to the door at the end of verse 1 if any need to slip on, and we'll sing this hymn together, please.